بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين خاتم النبيين محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, of the heavens, of the earth, who has perfected for us this deen, who has perfected for us this way of life. He has completed it, He has established it in a way that there is nothing missing. There is nothing lacking. When we think of Islam as the perfected deen, we often think about guidance. So Islam has given human beings the guidance that they require, the guidance that they need, and has given us a framework to deal with issues of the future as they come up. Because of course, as society, as the world progresses, and there are new inventions and there are new challenges, there is of course a need, a further need for further guidance. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given us that framework, that structure, the basic ingredients that we need to be able to figure things out as they come along. So it is complete and it is perfect, and there is no need for further divine guidance. So therefore, there are to be no further books, there are to be no further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are to be no further prophets being sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is another angle to this. There is another angle to this. Islam is not just a religion of facts and logic. Islam is not just a faith, a religion of facts and logic and do's and don'ts and stories and historical events and lessons. And all of these things may appear to be dry. They may appear to be very dry. It's very factual. It's lessons, you know, do's and don'ts, things with halal, with haram, and all of that. That sometimes may appear to be dry. There is all of that, which of course it is important. But it is also very much a religion, a way of life of emotion. It is not an emotionless way of life. It is in fact filled with emotion as well. And this is something which is not often talked about, unfortunately, and perhaps we need to do that more often. Because for many people, one of the things that they find lacking in our portrayal, in our presentation, in our practice of Islam, is this. They find the emotion missing. They find that there is a lack of love. There is a lack of emotion. And Islam has encouraged love, of course, for your spouse, towards your parents, towards your children, and so on and so forth. But the most intense, the most sincere love should be the one that has to do with our faith. And our faith is not devoid of love and emotion. And one of the central elements of our faith is to love the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, and this is a famous hadith which many of us have probably heard before, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إلي من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, said that none of you will truly believe, none of you, لا يؤمن أحدكم, none of you will truly believe حتى أكون أحب إليه, until I am more beloved to him. Until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and all of mankind. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deserves, requires a special place in our heart, in our emotions, in our love, a special place which is higher than the love we have for our relationships in this world, than we have towards our parents, towards our children, and towards other people. That is the emotion, the love, which is a central part of our faith, because the Prophet ﷺ is telling us that none of you will truly believe. If you believe, but if you do so without that love and without that emotion, then your belief is not complete. It is not the true, sincere belief which is required from us as believers. Now this is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. Okay. So this is the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, and I was curious. I was curious to know that what did love mean to the Prophet ﷺ when he said that he should be most beloved to us than all other people. What was he expecting from us? Right? Because love could mean different things to different people. Right? I could have a different understanding of what love means. I could take it very lightly. Somebody could take it very seriously. Somebody could think about romance. Some other people could think about flowers. You know, people think about associate different thoughts with love. So when the Prophet ﷺ is talking about hub, is talking about love, what did it mean to him? And what is he expecting from us when he says this? So I decided to explore the meaning of love as shown by the Prophet ﷺ himself. Let's look through his life. Let's find incidents, stories, cases that we can look at. And we can try to extrapolate, we can try to find out what did love mean to the Prophet ﷺ, so that we can get a better understanding, a better appreciation of this command that we should love him more than everyone else. So when we do that, when we look through his life, we find perhaps no better illustration of that love than the love the Prophet ﷺ had for Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, his very first wife. Khadija radiallahu anha was an accomplished businesswoman. Was an accomplished businesswoman who had hired Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam before his prophethood, of course, as a manager for her business, who would go out and take her caravans to different lands and different places, conduct business transactions on her behalf, manage her business, and then bring back the profits from the sale. Khadija radiallahu anha was impressed by the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was impressed by the honesty of the Prophet ﷺ. She was impressed by the truthfulness of the Prophet ﷺ. She was impressed by his conduct and even his business skills. So all of these things, because the Prophet ﷺ was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin, he was known as the truthful, he was known as the honest. All of these things very much impressed Khadija radiallahu anha. She had not ever had a business manager of that caliber, of that honesty, and of that truthfulness. She was 40 years old, widowed twice. So twice she had been married, and twice her husband had passed away. He was 25 years old, of course, and never married before. Their marriage was not a marriage of necessity. Their marriage was not a marriage of necessity. The Prophet ﷺ wasn't necessarily looking actively to get married at the time. He didn't feel he could fulfill the responsibilities of marriage at that time. So it was not necessarily a marriage of necessity. Nor was it a marriage of patience. Sometimes we talk, and people talk among themselves, woman to other woman, men to other men, and they relate that, you know, the marriage that they're in is a marriage of patience. It's out of necessity. It's because of the children. If the children weren't there, perhaps they wouldn't be in that marriage anymore. If it wasn't for this, or if it wasn't for that, I still wouldn't be married. And this is what people say sometimes. But the marriage of Khadija radiallahu anha and that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not a marriage like that. It was a marriage of true mutual love. And she was there as a pillar of support for him when he experienced the first revelation. And he was terrified. The Prophet ﷺ was terrified because he was going to the cave and he was contemplating as he would do. And then all of a sudden an angel appeared out of nowhere. And he went through the whole experience of receiving the first revelation. And he was fearful, he was terrified. And he ran to her. He didn't run to his best friend. Right? He didn't run to his uncle. He didn't run to his cousins. He ran to his wife. He ran to Khadija radiallahu anha saying, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, Daffiruni, cover me. Cover me, envelope me, embrace me. And she comforted him. And she offered that comfort and that reassurance, which was so critical at that time, which was so important at that time, because he did not know what was happening. He wasn't sure of what was happening. He had never experienced this before. So he needed that support and he needed that guidance and that comfort. So she reassured him, saying that Allah would never humiliate you, because she was a believer. Right? She was not an idol worshipper. She was a believer in one Allah. Allah would never humiliate you, for you are good to your relatives. You are good to your relatives. You are true to your word. You help those in need. You support the weak. You feed the guest and you answer the calls of those who are in distress. Right? So these were the qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that immediately came to the mind of Khadija radiallahu anha. So you must think that how prominent these qualities must have been, because these are the reasons she is listing why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never humiliate a person like that. Because he is good to his relatives, he is true to his word, he helps those in need, he supports the weak, he feeds the guest, and he answers the call of those who are in distress. So Khadija radiallahu anha offered that support that was required, that comfort and that guidance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her dearly. They had 6 children together. 7 years later, after the first revelation, when the Quraysh in Mecca had imposed the political, economic boycott, embargo, sanctions on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family, his clan, it was too much for her. Because she was older in age, she was older by 15 years from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was getting aged, and it was too much for her. And she eventually passed away. And this was very, very difficult for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very saddened. He was grieved. He was in a state of depression. And he lost his uncle as well, Abu Talib, who had also been a pillar of support. And this was referred to as the year of sorrow. This year is referred to as the year of sorrow because of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam experienced in terms of heartbreak and loss and grief. Aisha radiallahu anha, as we know, very close wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reported, she said, I never felt jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as I did of Khadija radiallahu anha, although I have never seen her. So although Aisha radiallahu anha had never seen Khadija radiallahu anha, she says that I never felt jealous of any of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as I did of Khadija radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to mention her very often. Whenever he slaughtered his sheep, this was the level of love and attachment. That whenever he slaughtered his sheep, he would cut it into pieces and send them to the woman friends of Khadija radiallahu anha. He would take the meat and he would send it. She had passed away, but he would send it to her friends who were still there. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, when I sometimes said to him, you treat Khadija in such a way as if there is no woman on earth except her. This was the impression of Aisha radiallahu anha, of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's love towards Khadija radiallahu anha. She says, you treat Khadija in such a way as if there is no woman on earth except her. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say, Khadija was such and such, and he would commend her and speak well of her, and I had children from her. He would talk at great length about her. He would remember her. He would praise her qualities, and he would pray for her forgiveness. Hala bint Khuwailid, so the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha, she sought permission from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to enter to visit him, and he recognized and recalled to his mind the manner of Khadija radiallahu anha by seeing her sister. Because many times siblings are similar, so her mannerisms and by looking at her, he was reminded of Khadija radiallahu anha. And he was deeply moved by that. And he recognized her because he hadn't heard her name, and he said, "Oh Allah, she must be Hala bin Khuwaylid. She must be Hala bin Khuwaylid. She must be the sister of Khadija radiallahu anha." When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about his love regarding Khadija radiallahu anha, this is what he said. This is what he described. He says, "I have not yet found a better wife than her. I have not yet," you know that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a number of marriages, yet he says, "I have not yet found a better wife than her. She had faith in me when everyone, she had faith in me when everyone, even members of my own family and tribe, did not believe me, and accepted that I was truly a prophet and a messenger of Allah. She converted to Islam, spent all her wealth and worldly goods to help me spread this faith. And this too at a time when the entire world seemed to have turned against me and persecuted me. And it is through her that Allah blessed me with children." So the Prophet ﷺ would very fondly remember his time with Khadija radiallahu anha. Once he saw her necklace. There was some issue regarding ransoming of prisoners and so on, and her necklace came up after she had passed away. And he saw her necklace and he was deeply moved by seeing that. During the conquest of Mecca, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims conquered Mecca, which was 10 years later, when he stopped at a spot and he stationed himself, he did it near her gravesite. When he returned to Mecca, when he was close to Mecca and he had to stop, where did he stop? Near the gravesite of Khadija radiallahu anha. And such was the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for his wife. So let us examine some of the qualities of that love, right? So we can understand, as I said earlier, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood and meant when he said love, that we should love him more than everything else, more than anyone else, right? What was his expectation of love? So we look at some of the qualities of the love. And the first quality that we notice was loyalty. The first quality that we notice was loyalty. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the passing of Khadija radiallahu anha, he married Aisha radiallahu anha, he married other women. But while he was married to Khadija radiallahu anha, he did not marry anyone else. Even though she was 15 years older than him, he was married to her and her alone. So what does that tell us about love? That if we are to be loving towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that means that we must be loyal to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When it comes to the teachings, when it comes to the sayings, the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam versus that of other people, there's no question for us. Our loyalty is towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our loyalty is towards his teachings, his guidance, his words before anybody else. If the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has done something, has shown us something, has taught us something, has given us guidance regarding something, that is where we go first. If we don't find something there, then in matters that have not been addressed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we look elsewhere. Khadija radiallahu anha was the first source of comfort and guidance for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to her love for him, his love for her. So when we need guidance, when we are looking for guidance and when we are looking for comfort, let us first turn to the beautiful words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for reassurance, for support, and for direction. Of course, only above the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, but apart from that, we turn to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to his words for comfort, for guidance, for direction. We also learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as a quality of his love towards Khadija radiallahu anha, wanted to be, or had a desire to be, in close proximity of her. Right? So even after she had passed away, he stopped by and stayed near her gravesite. And he had an attachment to everything that had to do with her. So we too should have that attachment, that emotional attachment, with everything to do with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should mean that we want to be in the same place as him. We want to be close to him. We have an attachment to his city. And sometimes we think that, you know, attachment to cities and places, especially when it has to do with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is just, you know, unnecessary. When we go for Hajj, it's okay, you don't need to visit Madinatul Munawwara. It's not a requirement. Right? But when we read and when we study the status of Madinatul Munawwara, of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all based on authentic ahadith, all based on authentic teachings, we truly understand the value of the city, the value of being close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the value of praying in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, value of being in the city, spending time there. All of that has been proven through authentic teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had attachment, like I said, with everything to do with Khadija radiallahu anha. Even her friends, her relatives, when they would come in and he would remember them, he would honor them, show them extra respect and extra reverence. Why? He had nothing really to do with him. Right? They were the friends of Khadija radiallahu anha, not necessarily his friends. But because of that relationship, because of that link that they had with the one that he loved, he also respected them and he also honored them. So respecting and valuing and appreciating everything to do with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? His words, his choices, his preferences, his family, people who study and teach his words, the books that contain his words. Treat all of these with love and have an attachment to all of these. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak about Khadija radiallahu anha after she passed away. You know, nowadays sometimes spouse passes away, people move on. Okay, that chapter is closed. Close the books, forget about it, you move on with your life. And I'm not saying it's necessarily bad to move on with your life. But the Prophet ﷺ would still talk about her, would still remember her, and still speak highly of her. Even in front of Aisha radiallahu anha. He didn't care that Aisha radiallahu anha was becoming jealous. No, Khadija radiallahu anha, there was true love. The Prophet ﷺ would mention it and would speak about her very highly. Right, so our love towards the Prophet ﷺ, what does it require? What's the expectation? That we speak highly of the Prophet ﷺ. We are not ashamed of our relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. We defend the honor of the Prophet ﷺ in a wise and permissible way, of course, as we have discussed before. Right? And we talk about his qualities and we remember him. We send salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ. So let us learn and seek out all of these things. His words, his teachings, his guidance, his preferences, his choices. Value them and act upon his ways. And make a special place in our hearts. Designate a special place in our hearts for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and everything to do with him. Special place which is secluded, which is protected, so that nothing or no one can reach that place. A special high place in our heart for everything to do with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thawban radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loved the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam dearly, and he loved him so much that he could not bear not seeing him for long periods of time. He loved him so much that he could not bear not seeing him for long periods of time. So one day, Thawban radiallahu anhu, he showed up with his complexion changed. He was looking different. He had lost weight. And the signs of sadness were evident on his face. So the Prophet ﷺ noticed this change in him. And he said, "O Thawban, what has made your complexion change? Why are you looking like this? Why are you looking, you know, sad or ill? What's happening?" So he replied and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I am not suffering from any harm or pain. I am not suffering from any harm or pain, except that when I do not see you, I miss you and feel intense longing for you, which does not cease until I meet you." So there's no other reason for this, for the change in my appearance, which you're seeing, except that when I do not see you, I miss you. I miss you and I feel intense longing, excuse me, for you, which does not cease, which does not stop until I meet you. Then he says, "Then I remember the afterlife." That's not all. And he says, "Then I remember the afterlife. And I fear that I will not see you there. I think about the afterlife. After I have died. And after everyone has moved on from this world. And I fear that I will not see you there. I know that you will be raised high up with the prophets. Whereas if I enter the garden, if I enter Jannah," this is the humility of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. He loves the Prophet ﷺ so much that he can't stand being without him. "Yet he is not confident about himself that, yes, I'm such a close companion of the Prophet, so of course I'm going to enter Jannah. That's not the way he sees it. That's not the way he sees it. He's afraid he will not be able to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. He says, I know you will be raised high up with the Prophets. Whereas if I enter the garden, if I enter Jannah, I will be in a rank much lower than yours. I will be in a rank much lower than yours. And if I do not enter Jannah. So even that is a possibility for him. Even that is a possibility for him, a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, if I do not enter Jannah, it will be certain that I will never see you. So this is the fear that he has. This is his concern. This is the level of attachment and love towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, those who obey Allah and the Messenger are with those whom Allah has blessed. So if you obey Allah and you obey His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are with those, or you will be with those who are, or whom Allah has blessed, namely, and Allah names them, the prophets, the siddiqeen, the companions who excelled over all others in their submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you follow, if you obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be with the prophets and the siddiqeen and the shuhada, those who have given their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with the righteous, Allah says, and excellent are they as companions. Those are the companions you want in Jannah. Those are the companions you want in the afterlife. So let us love everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Most importantly, follow him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom did not make us of one of the Sahaba. Did not make us among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is all wise. If He wanted to, He could have. But He did not. He did not make us from among those people. He made us come over 1400 years after them. And we all wish that we could have met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who here would not want to be in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We would of course have to think about ourselves first and say, okay, am I actually in a position that I want to actually go meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But of course, our attachment is that, yes, we would all love to see him and be with him. But there are glad tidings for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not forgotten us. The Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam has not forgotten the people who are to come after him and who have come after him. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I wish that I could meet my brothers. وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَقِيتُ إِخْوَانِ. That I wish I could meet my brothers. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they asked, أَوَلَيْسَ نَحْنُ إِخْوَانَكَ. That are we not your brothers? Aren't we your brothers? We're your companions. We live with you. We sit with you. We are always with you. Aren't we your brothers? And he replied, you are my companions. You are my companions, but my brothers are those who will believe in me without having seen me. Those who believe in me without having seen me, who will have heard about me and read about me, and they will believe in me, they are my brothers. So the Prophet ﷺ has given us that hope and has expressed that closeness towards us. It is our responsibility to reciprocate that love towards the Prophet ﷺ. And as I mentioned earlier, it is a part of our faith. Our deen, Islam, is not a faith void of emotion and void of love. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for the Prophet ﷺ is an integral part of our faith. Prophet ﷺ said that you have not truly believed until you love me more than your father, your son, and the rest of mankind. So our love for the Prophet ﷺ has to be higher than the love for anyone else. We must express that love. We must value the Prophet ﷺ. Most importantly, learn about him, read about him, educate ourselves about him, so that we can actually try to be like him as well. Right? Not just so we can win debates and answer questions, right? So that we can actually internalize his teachings and his preferences and his choices, right? Actually try to become like that, try to adopt them one by one, so that we become a reflection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam won people over, right? Dramatic change in the world, in Arabia, right? Through his character, through his teachings. So by looking at us, people should be reminded of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should be a reflection of his teachings, right? And not the opposite, of course. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to express that love in the best way possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us closeness to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this world and especially in the hereafter. Ameen wa akhidu da'wana.